Rejoice in the Lord. Although Habakkuk is considered a minor prophet, his words are important and powerful. And this morning we're going to focus on the last portion of his prayer. Though life at times is rough, we can have hope and faith in God. He gives us the ability to rejoice and to be renewed by his strength. We have a decision to make, a decision to rejoice in the Lord and to be joyful in God our Savior. At times, life is tough. It has its challenges. The prophet expressed it this way, though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior. The prophet reminds us that the future is unknown, but isn't always the future unknown. God had told Habakkuk in his prayer and his dialogue with God that their country was going to be invaded. These foreign forces many times would destroy many of the crops for punishment of the people, and therefore a shortage of food and a famine would occur. Just during normal times, during biblical times, famine was a problem. There was a shortage of food many times when there was not proper rainfall. There were times that many people went to bed hungry. And the old expression of people being skin and bones was very true during those times. In biblical times, there was no refrigeration, no modern transportation methods. If there was a drought, famine would occur. In the United States, if there's a drought, we typically have other countries or other states whereby we get our food. And so people can eat something. It may not be your favorite whatever that there's a shortage of, or you may have to pay dearly for whatever it is that you want to eat. But you will have plenty of food to eat in America. When there's a shortage of rainfall, there is a real problem. When I joined the military, we moved to Southern California. And there is not an abundance of rainfall there except during rainy season. Some of you may remember the old song, sings that never rains in sunny or Southern California. And that's true except during the rainy season. I noticed that we were in a different place than in North Carolina when I looked at our first water bill, and it literally was four times the amount that we had paid in North Carolina. And that's when they had plenty of water compared to today in last year. Not long ago in North Carolina, there was a drought here and a water shortage. Lakes and rivers dried up. There was even talk of rationing water. Conserve was the word. Many wells ran dry. The wells had to be dug deeper. The prophet Habakkuk, clearly the circumstances appeared bleak. The questions would be asked. The people were already asking the question, well, what are we going to do? And could the situation become worse? Well, we have some similar things taking place today. The economy is uncertain. Jobs are threatened. As far as job security, it's now almost non-existent. Crime is a concern. There are financial concerns that people have. The war on terror and terrorism is very real. We still have Americans dying in Iran and Afghanistan. Many people have asked, could the world situation become worse? As a result, many people are legitimately afraid to go to the airport. And yet, many terror attacks upon Americans have been prevented. Our law enforcement agencies have done a great job with that. God is able. We need to trust in Him for our security. And with the future being uncertain, People go through health concerns and are very concerned about the future as it relates to their health. Well, the people back then had all of these concerns as well. But Habakkuk had a deep hope and faith in God. In God, there's always hope. We can have hope and a faith in an invisible God and a reliable God, and we can place our trust and our confidence in Him. God always keeps His word. God is not forgetful as it pertains to His word. If He says something, it is so. It's just a matter of the present time catching up to the future. God will walk with us through the valley. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. In college, there was a philosophy professor, and he had warned the class that there would only be one question on the final exam. And so when he came to class that day, the students were seated, and he started writing on the board. And he wrote these words, using everything we have learned this semester. And he stopped and picked up this chair that he usually sat in and sat it on his desk. Prove that this chair does not exist. Well, the fingers flew, the erasers erased, the notebooks were filled, and some people wrote 30 pages in the allotted time. However, there's one student that literally at the end of 1 minute, he got up and walked out. Well, if you've been to college, you realize that usually that things don't go well with a student that does that. Well, the grades were posted. This was the old days where they could put your name right next to your grade. Some of you remember those old days. Now there's privacy acts and all kinds of other laws that prevent that from happening. But they noticed that this student got an A. And so they wanted to know, what did you write to get an A? And he said, oh, it was very simple. I simply wrote the words, what chair? This sermon will not be as short as his answer, I promise you. Then Habakkuk says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. You know, it's a decision we make. We can continue to dwell with the negative. We can continue to deal with the complainers. We can complain ourselves. But the prophet Habakkuk challenges us to join him and to rejoice in the Lord. My soul is restless until I find my rest in thee. And it is so true. Nature rejoices. You know, I so enjoy the springtime and listening to the birds in the spring. And I live right there on the edge of a creek. And so we always have water there. There's a spring in that, actually it's a branch that's there. And therefore there's a lot of birds and they're singing and their chorus is just so beautiful. It's just wonderful to experience that. God gives us joy just as God gives nature joy. He gives us the ability to sing. I normally sing in the choir. Today I feel like I'm preaching to the choir. At least I'm preaching to one choir member anyway. That's to myself, those of you listening by radio. God gives joy. Joy overflows just like a water in your glass when you're pouring from a pitcher and you pour too much in it. It overflows. Well, that's the kind of joy and peace that God gives. It defies logic. It makes no sense. Our soul is at ease and at rest because we know God and we've decided to follow Him and we've decided to be joyful. There were three boys playing in the backyard and one of the parents overheard what they said. They got into one of those routines of my dad is bigger than your dad and better than your dad. And so one said, well, my dad knows the mayor of this town. The other one says, well, that's nothing. My dad knows the governor of this state. And the other two started looking at the third one. And the third one says, well, my dad knows God. That truly tops it all, doesn't it? Knowing God, I will be joyful in God, my Savior, the God of my salvation. We all are sinners. We've all gone our own way. We've sinned against God. It's recorded in the Holy Bible from the book of Genesis to Revelation. And we need God. We need a Savior. We need someone to rescue us, to forgive us for our sins, to give us victory, to deliver us, to help us. We need to know God and to have a relationship with Him. We sing, what a friend we have in Jesus, and He truly is. Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. It was in a small southern community. Everyone knew Aunt Ruby and Uncle Arnie. Well, they really weren't everybody's aunts or uncles, but you know how we in the South often do. We adopt family and they adopt us. And so everyone knew that they did not have any children. And it had been some time, and so they finally decided to adopt, and they waited 5 years before finally a baby came up. And they adopted him, and they were so glad, and everybody was glad for them. Well, as so often happens, a few months after the adoption, Aunt Ruby was expecting. And she had another boy. So she had two boys a year apart. And time passed, and as the boys were 8 and 9 playing in the yard, one of the neighbors came over and visited, and they said, Ruby, which boy is yours? And Ruby said, both of them. And the neighbor said, well, I know that, but I mean, which one is adopted? And she said, I've forgotten. Just as his mother loved both her children unconditionally, God loves us. And as a result, we can be joyful because God is God. He's reliable. We've got to make a decision. Will you decide to be joyful or not? You know, a lot of people get attention by complaining, by being negative. They've done that all their life. Well, you can make a decision to stop. It won't be easy, but you can make a decision to be joyful. I will be joyful. I'm reminded of a widow at our first church. She was known as Miss Mabel. She lived in the community all her life. People knew her when she was healthy, but when Ginger and I knew her, she was not healthy. She had suffered a stroke. It left her left arm useless. Her left leg also was not right. She limped as she walked. She was not wealthy, by no means. But Miss Mabel consistently was joyful every day. She made the decision, I will be joyful. When there was a time for hymn requests, you could count on one of the first hands going up, the hand she could raise. And it was, count your many blessings, name them one by one. And she often would say, count your many blessings, name them two by two. And then she would sing that song just like that. And you could hear her, if you listened carefully, if you didn't sing real loud yourself, once in a while you could hear her say, count your many blessings, name them two by two. The sovereign Lord is my strength that renews me and refreshes me. That's the person Miss Mabel knew. God is our creator above all circumstances. God's strength will not, cannot fail, and He is faithful to us, in spite of us not being faithful to Him. He is dependable. He's loving. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. He's our creator and our God, our sovereign God. Then the prophet says that one of the things God does for us, He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. What does that mean? If you're familiar with deers, you know, or deer, you know that they jump fast, they quick, they move, and especially during hunting season, they're spooked really well, those bucks especially. Have you ever seen a deer jump? when they take off into the woods, how high it is, how quick it is, there is nothing that keeps them from jumping and moving quick. Their burden is light. You know, that's what God wants for us. He wants our burden to be light, regardless what's going on in the world that we have no control over. He wants our burden to be light. Just as nothing hinders the deer from jumping, He wants us to carry a light load, not a heavy load. The deer move in a direction. We need our direction from God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not upon your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. There's many competing voices in the world, many conflicting interests, family, friends, the world, the Satan, pleasure, competing voices. But God commands the people of faith to trust in Him. We need direction from God, a God who cannot lead us astray. When you were traveling somewhere you weren't used to, have you ever been lost? Now, men, I don't want you to answer that question. Because if you do, you'll have to admit, no, I didn't stop and ask for directions. Well, thank God for GPS. And even though it makes things better, it's not always perfect. But God gives us directions, proper directions, where we won't get lost, where we will not regret doing things His way. His Holy Bible, the Holy Spirit, His still small voice helps us. And we need to become familiar with it. Here's some signs that a person may not be familiar with the Bible. You think Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob might be a law firm. Your favorite Old Testament strongman is Hercules. One of your choice Bible verses is cleanliness is next to godliness. Catching the kids reading the Song of Solomon, you demand, where'd you get this stuff from? You keep looking in the Bible when the preacher tells you to turn to First Condominiums. Indications you may not be too familiar with the scripture. And then the prophet Habakkuk says, He enables me to go to heights. We can overcome our fear. Some of you may say, well, I'm afraid of heights. Well, God will help you overcome that. He enables me to go up. You know, we've got to have a desire to go up, to do things His way, to improve, to serve Him. God will lift you upon the mountaintop if you're just willing. Even if you don't have the strength, He will give you strength to do that. You know, I grew up on the coast of North Carolina. We're not accustomed to seeing the top of a tree unless it falls down. But the view's a little different in the Piedmont, isn't it? And it's far different, more so, on a mountaintop. You can see more. You can see clearly. If you've ever visited Mount Mitchell on a clear day, you can see for miles and miles, even into other states. You have a different perspective. You can see some new things. We can enjoy the beauty. We can relax, enjoy God's creation, and enjoy life. I have come that you might have life and might have it more abundantly. We can go to new places. We can grow in God. God wants you on the mountaintop. Now, there's a risk, but there's only at risk, not because you're doing something new, if we depend upon our strength instead of God's strength. By faith, God enables us to go to new heights. God leads us beside the still waters. He restores our soul. Life is rough. It has its challenges. However, we can have hope and faith in God. I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. God refreshes me by His strength. I feel that my feet is like that of a deer and will climb to new heights. My burden will become light.